Shall we turn, please, to Genesis chapter 26, verse 13. And the man, that is Isaac, waxed great, and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now Exodus chapter 14. You notice what it says, that this man was great and went forward. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward, and lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, Jeremiah, these are just short readings. Jeremiah chapter 7. Isaac, we are told, went forward and became very great. The children of Israel were told to go forward, despite the problems. Now we come to Jeremiah, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, this is the Lord speaking to the nation, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And now we come to Ezekiel chapter 1. Now this afternoon, we had our attention drawn more than once to the Old Testament prophets. Here we come again to Ezekiel chapter 1. And this vision of heaven. Heaven opened. Chapter 1, verse 1. It came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar. You remember Abraham, the great progenitor of the Jewish people, started off in Ur of the Chaldees, and now his people are right back where he began, back in in the territory of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And now skip some verses, verse 9. They went every one straight forward. Verse 12, they went every one straight straightforward. Now please keep your Bible open, because we're going to read some more from this chapter. I was glad that our brother finished on the note on which he did, pointing us forward to that time when him. And thank God, despite the wickedness of the world and the opposition of men and devils, thank God that day is coming on apace. Everything is going straight forward. And incidentally, I want to strike a practical note here, and that is the Lord expects you and me, dear friends, in our Christian witness for Him, to keep going on despite the difficulties. And difficulties there are on every hand. But He wants us to keep going on, keep going forward. We are told concerning Isaac here, mind you, he was a bit wobbly at times. And he was heading for Egypt, as his father did when he made a great mistake. He got to Gerar, that was halfway there. But in the goodness of God, he was arrested and stopped. And then he turned round. And you remember how he finished up at least this section of his life with water springing up, and at the same time his praises going up to God. He became the man of the wells and the man of the altar. He went forward. And then in the case of the children of Israel, you remember God brought them out of Egypt. And they were brought to the Red Sea. And Moses gave the clear command, or God gave it through Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And my friends, if I stopped here tonight, I think there is enough in what I have read and said to stir our hearts. Because, as the Lord is my witness, I have great concern about the number of dropouts we have these days. So many not going on. So many not going forward. So many, and their grandparents were in the assemblies, and their parents are in the assemblies, but they are not. And some of them not even saved. Speak to the Christians of Brisbane and tell them to go forward. Speak to the young people, the rising generation, and give them this message. Forward, forward, forward in the things of God. Because God's great purposes, blessed be His name, are going on apace. And He is carrying on His great, great program. I'm convinced of it. We see it more day by day. In fact, just yesterday, I heard on one of these talkback programs, someone from Canberra, one of these reporters, has taken up a job in Germany. And the lady who was interviewing him was talking to him about it. And his response was this: after all, Europe these days is really one country. Does that not ring a bell with us? Those who know the Word of God, those of us who have read the prophetic scriptures, of course, great, great finger posts telling us that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Now, Isaac went forward. The children of Israel were told to go forward. But when we come to Jeremiah, what do we find? They went backward instead of forward. And as I pointed out, they finished up in Chaldea. Now, I'm going to take up 4 points here, friends, to make it as simple as I can. Because sometimes when you go to a passage like Ezekiel 1, you can almost see people shrivel. It's such a deep, complicated chapter. Well, I want to try and make it simple for my own sake as well as yours. And after all, God's great, great purposes concerning Christ, fundamentally, they're very simple. I know there is so much we don't understand, but the simple, basic truths are very, very simple. So, the first heading I want to give you is the prophet and the place. Chaldea, not in their own land, not even going through the wilderness, in prospect of their land. Where are they? On Etham's barren shore, that fire from heaven which led thee now lights thy path no more. Ezekiel says, I was among the captives by the river Kibar. Remember, please, this man was a priest. He was born to serve where? In the temple. Where was that? Up in Jerusalem. And now he's miles and miles and miles away from the place, and apparently no hope of ever functioning in the position that God had for him. No, I have no comments to make on Prince Charles as a man, but the simple fact is this: he was born to reign, and I think I'm right in saying he's in his 50s now, and as far as I can see, there is no prospect, certainly at the moment, of his ever being king, of his ever functioning in that position for which, by birthright, he was born. And here is Ezekiel, born to be a priest, is a priest, should be up in Jerusalem functioning in the temple. But here I am. What he says in the midst of it all, heaven was opened, and I saw visions of God. I often think of this when things are black in the world, when there are problems in my own life, in the midst of disappointments, and you look around, everything is black. Very often that's the time when heaven is open, and when every other door is shut. Thank God that door is open and we can look up. And if we don't see very much around us to cheer the heart, thank God we can lift our eyes to yonder throne and see Christ seated in that place that God has given him and which is his by right. That's the prophet and the place. I want us to notice the second thing, and that is the cloud and the fire. The cloud and the fire. And it says enfolding itself. Have you ever seen a building really on fire? I remember on one occasion in Belfast, I was doing overtime, and just across from where I was, it was about 8 o'clock at night, I heard the cry and people running to shut the windows because there was a building just opposite on fire. And as I looked out, I could see the fire. But then I noticed in the midst of the fire, sometimes smoke would come out and you couldn't see the fire at all. And then the fire would come out and the smoke again and the fire again. And sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's dark. And so it is with God's prophetic program. Just 2 nights ago, a young brother said to me, would you be surprised if the Lord did not come for another 1,000 years? Now he said, I know things are looking very, very like it. And at times you would think he was just going to come today. Other times it's all a puzzle. And mind you, friends, I think this is exactly how Ezekiel must have felt. There are times when he could see God's plans, and other times it's oh so dark, and we wonder what's going to happen. Isn't that so in our lives? Isn't that so in the life of our families? Isn't that so in the lives of assemblies? There are times when everything is just going so smoothly and you can see things so clearly. And then before you know, just like switching off a light. What's going to happen next? I don't know. But what I want us to notice here, friends, twice it is said, as far as God's plans are concerned, they are going what? They are going straight forward. Right on the rail. Right on track. If there's any problem, leave it to the Lord. If there's any difficulty that you can't solve, now we're going to read. We have got the prophet in the place. We have got the cloud and the fire. I want us now to read about the creatures and the wheels. Shall we read? Now, we'll have to cut out a great deal of the reading here, but will you just turn, look at your Bible, please. Verse 5 again. Out of the midst thereof there came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Notice this. That man, Christ Jesus, and we're going to read further about him. Every one had four faces. Every one had four wings. And the faces were looking in different directions. Now, verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They were working in unison. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now, I leave to you Bible students to work out these different faces and their significance. Except I will point this out to you. There was a face pointing in every direction. North, south, east, and west. And then it says, verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightnings. And the living creatures ran and returned. It mentions about their going and returning, but it never says they were going backwards. How could they? If they go to the left, there's a face there. If they go to the right, there's a face there. We know where we're going. And when they're returning, they know where they're going. There's a face there. I remember the late Harry Lacy once pointing out to me in a private conversation, it says always, going and returning. Their home every night after every journey was the throne of God. Back to the throne. Back to God Himself who sent them and energized them. Then it says, side by side with these creatures. Verse 15. As I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a bell. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes. They could see everything round about them four. Now, again, there is so much we're not reading. I want to get the main outline, the dominant features. Here are these four creatures. They are separate, and yet they're acting as one. Their wings touching, and their wings, as it were, glued to one another. In the early days of the aviation, stunt flying, it was a great thing, I understand, to have four planes and their wings linked together. And they went around, absolutely synchronized in their movement. Well, we have it already in Ezekiel chapter 1. But great, great truths enshrined here. And we are told that there were four wheels, one corresponding to each creature. Now, in English, we have an idiom, wheels in within wheels. That doesn't explain Ezekiel 1. In fact, it's very, very misleading. As far as I can see, and I have given a good deal of thought to it, it says not a wheel within a wheel, but a wheel in the middle of a wheel, shot through. And no matter what way the creature wants to go, the wheel says, we are ready. North, south, east, west. It's all the same to us. Full of eyes. We know what we are about. We know where we are going. And the spirit of the creatures was in the wheels. We heard about the Holy Spirit and the power of God earlier in our conference this afternoon. Well, here they are. And it simply means this. Well, they went every one straight forward. Supposing there's a brother or a sister away in that corner. And I would be inclined to say, that brother, that sister needs me. I'll go, I'll take a shortcut. None of your shortcuts, says the Lord. I don't believe in shortcuts. I go straight forward at all times. I go straight, there's a face looking, I know where I'm going. And just at right angles, the other face takes over, and you just think he's missing you. And he says, I had my eye on you all the time. They looked straight forward. They went straight forward. No matter what obstacles stand in the way, doesn't matter. We can go north, south, east, and west. We're always going straight forward. People perhaps don't realize, you young people brought up in Australia, you possibly don't realize that 100 years ago there was no, 150 years ago, there was no Germany, no Italy as you have them today. When we did European history, we knew for sure that in the examinations we would get one question on the unification of Italy and another on the unification of Germany. And that was only in the last century. And we were asked to write short notes on Mussolini and Cavour and Bismarck and Garibaldi. These men didn't live in the first century, you know. And yet some of our early brethren teachers were able to tell us, prophetic teachers, that Europe would be united and one man would take over. God's plans are going straight forward. Nothing haphazard. But finally, I want us to come to the fourth point. The prophet and the place. The cloud and the fire. The creatures and the wheels. Straight forward. Fourthly, and this is where our brother Tom finished, the throne and the man. The man on the throne. God has determined to head up all things in Christ. Prince Charles may reign as king, he may never reign, I don't know. But the scripture says concerning Christ, he must reign. Is that what your Bible says? He must reign. Not he may be reign. Or it will take a long, long time. When God's time comes, he will reign. And how long? Until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the program is going straight forward. Thank God. We sometimes think it's going back, but no. I remember in Hong Kong, in the 50s, a very different place from what it is today. And in Hong Kong, the refugees were coming in and tremendous works going on. There was Hennessy Road, and I was living, I was a bachelor at that time on my own, in the Sailors and Soldiers Home, the cheapest place in Hong Kong. And it was given out, announced in the papers, that there was going to be a big, big project, laying of pipes and whatnot in Hennessy Road. And in came the pneumatic drills. They were not a great help to lull you to sleep at night, I can tell you, these pneumatic drills. And about 2 miles of the road, a huge trench, deep trench. And the work there, of course, has to be done during the winter time. That's the dry season, starting at November. And the PWD announced the traffic would be running on the 1st of May. And I noticed that, early December, if you please, they had laid their pipes. And they had filled in the soil, and they had taken away the surplus soil. And I smiled to myself and said, the PWD are well ahead of themselves this time. Because the road was ready to be resurfaced. Do you know what I found? I found one morning when I rose again and got into the tram, and the tram ran just along this channel that had been cut on the road. I found that again they were excavating the soil. What to do? To put down other pipes. The deep pipes were the sewerage pipes. Then they put in the water pipes, put the soil in again, and once again they churned the soil up. What to do? To put in cables. And that happened 3 or 4 times, and I remember sitting one day in a tram as it stopped looking out, and I said to myself, now I understand Ezekiel 1. Even when they were going back, digging up the soil again, the great master plan was going forward. And exactly on the 1st of May, the traffic began to flow again. Straight forward. Ezekiel's creatures. Going back? No, we're going forward. Going to the left or right to get around some obstacle? No, we're going forward. There's a wheel ready to go. There's a face looking in that direction. Our brother said rightly so, nothing took God by surprise. He is working all things according to the counsel of his own will. What to do? To bring a man, that blessed man, your Savior and mine, and set him on yonder throne, on the pinnacle of the universe. And one day we are going to see him, and thank God, we are going to share his glory. He and I in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with him, his that I am there, the man and the throne. Let's read about it. It's the word of God. The verse 24. Now I'm breaking in, it's very fragmentary reading, friends. I hope you'll read it again for yourself. These creatures, they went and returned like lightning. And of course there was great commotion. And verse 24. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne, wait for it, was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. Ezekiel was a monotheist, you know. He didn't know anything about the Trinity. He knew nothing about the incarnation. And you remember Paul spoke of God whom no man hath seen or can see. And our brother was referring to the Muslims. And you know, if there is one thing about the Muslims, it is this. The great, great, great overarching sin of all kinds is what they call sharik. That means association. If you go to Malaysia, you'll see on the shops the name Sharikat, where we would have company. Nothing must ever be associated with God, even in thought. That is blasphemy. To speak of a man on the throne of God, it's utterly unthinkable. Absolutely. The very worst in blasphemy to associate anyone or anything with God on his throne. And I take it this is why Ezekiel almost hedges his words. He said, it couldn't be a man. But as I looked up after all these creatures had their wings down, they said, now our work is over. Look up. And he said, I saw the throne. And it was the appearance of the likeness of a man. A man on the throne of God. No wonder he says, when I saw it, I fell as dead. But read. I saw, as the verse 27, as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and notice he does not directly depict him, but upward and downward. And from the appearance of his loins downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. What is this? There is the throne. And he said, as I looked at the throne, and I could hardly look, everything was so bright. You know, the scripture speaks of the glory of God. God who caused the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here is a wonderful foretaste of it. Ezekiel, the prophet, and the place. The cloud and the fire, sometimes bright, sometimes dark. The creatures and the wheels, always going straight forward, leading to that moment, the denouement, when what will happen? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Jesus Christ, your Savior and mine. Crown him Lord of all. And Ezekiel says, I was overcome. And sometimes don't we wonder what will it be like to see the Savior. There's a dear brother who was in Papua New Guinea called Austin Roach. And we visited him just about a month before he died. And he died a relatively young man. We visited him in Tasmania. And he said, And it was really a very touching sight. He said, I have only short time to live. But he said, when the specialist told me that I could possibly die in as little as a week, he said, I had a feeling of elation such as I have never had before. He said, can it be that I have only one more Sunday to remember the Lord? Can it be that before a second Sunday comes, I'm going to look into the face of a man with the marks of Calvary upon his person? I'm going to see the man who died for me. I'm going to see the only man in the universe of God and in all time and all eternity who really matters. Who is that? Jesus Christ, our Lord, the man on the throne. Does it not cheer your heart, my friend? Just to know that he's coming. And it mightn't even be two Sundays. It mightn't even be one Sunday. He might come tonight and with his quickening voice sweep the graves of land and sea and take us to be with himself. And we are going to enjoy all these things we have been preaching about and thinking about and singing about. I was quoting, he and I in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share. Are you looking for it? Are you living in the good of it? Are you going forward in your Christian experience? Have you set your eye on the mark like the Apostle Paul? And are you living and living truly for him? Young people, there is nothing else on earth worth living for compared with living for Christ. And could I appeal to some of you? It's great to see so many young people here with us this afternoon and evening. Could I appeal to some of you to make up your mind even tonight that from now on I am going to live for eternity? I am going to live with the eye of God upon me. I am going to live with the zeal of these creatures who went every one of them straight forward in the service of God with that end in view, to usher in the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May he then bless his good word to all our hearts, and may we who are older too get fresh visions of Christ coming in his glory, because he is coming so very, very soon. And some of these hymns that we love to sing, they are going to be gloriously true. We shall see him face to face and be in his presence forever.